section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A superstar quits, a knockout is terminated, and we discuss the Royal Rumble fallout. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts, Aaron?
Well, let me ask you. Do you think it's a good idea?
No.
And why not?
Well, it's in the celeb wing. The celeb wing. I could care less that he's in it, but I guess you're going to get more media support with Savage and Schwarzenegger being in it. So, you know, kudos for WWE for getting some positive press for a change.
The only issue I have with it, I'm okay with it, you know, which is kind of surprising to me. The only big issue I have with it is I don't want it to overshadow Savage being put in. I think Savage should be the hands down focal point, kind of like when Hogan was put in or Bret Hart. They were the main centerpiece. And I think Schwarzenegger will, you know, might have some small issues with that. But the other big thing that happened this weekend, Andy, well, not really the biggest, but, you know, something that happened was Justin Gabriel was released / quit. Apparently Saturday night he said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And then WWE posted that they had come to terms with him and released him. So is this a big blow to WWE for, you know, letting go such a talent in Justin Gabriel?
I don't think it is, because they weren't really doing anything with him. So I think the fact that he asked for his release and he got it, to me, I'm fine with it. I just hope that he does good on the indies. He was on the indies for a little bit, and he's going to continue there now. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him maybe in Lucha or Ring of Honor. I do not see him in TNA at all.
Yeah, probably not in TNA. Although, I mean, he could, you know, go for the X division there. I think that they don't have a cruiserweight division there. They don't have an X division. They don't have an area where he could shine. And I think that's the problem, because Justin Gabriel in WCW, Justin Gabriel would have had the cruiserweight title probably once or twice by now. He would have been somebody who would have been fairly big there, I think. The problem with WWE is that they don't have Raw, SmackDown structured correctly. And so you're not going to see a Justin Gabriel featured there. You're not going to see him get wins. You're not going to see him win a title. And so his choice to ask for his release because he was unhappy, I think, was a smart one. And if he went about it the right way, then kudos to him, because you never want to burn bridges, and you never want to burn bridges with WWE. He's not Hogan. It's not like he is going to command a huge audience. If he ever ends up back there, you know, you got to make sure that you do it correctly. So, but yeah, he's not going to be missed nearly as much as, you know, some other people that have left recently.
That is true, but it's just kind of sad, because I was really rooting for him for a long time, and I really thought at one point he would, you know, he would shine, and he kind of did at one point, but yeah, that's just sad. So here's the funny thing. The hashtag cancel WWE Network trended number one on Twitter right after the Royal Rumble. Now, do you think it's because of the Philly fans, because they forced it, or do you think that people were just upset with the Royal Rumble because it was so boring? And
well, I disagree with you about it being boring. I think that the Royal Rumble was actually an exciting pay-per-view. I think that they had some really great matches. The Rumble itself, I actually enjoyed, you know, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But the canceled WWE Network, the reason it was the number one trend is you had wrestling fans banding together, wanting their voice to be heard, because they felt that their voice was not heard. And so that Philly crowd really was the voice of the hardcore WWE fans. Now, WWE is not focusing on them. They're focusing in on the casual fans, the younger fans, and people that are just enjoying the show. People such as us, we, you know, maybe nitpick a little bit. Maybe we pick apart some of the stuff that's going on, which is fine. But, you know, we're not doing it in a mean way. You know, we want WWE, we want wrestling to succeed. We're just very disappointed in the way that they are going about it. And the reason canceled WWE Network was the number one trend is because wrestling fans were very upset at the show. Not because it wasn't entertaining, but because of the outcomes and the fact that they felt that their voice was not heard.
I don't know about that. I guess to me, if I had to, you know, pick where this sat on the like Royal Rumbles, like the top, every single one of them, this would be the bottom. I thought it was very, you know, that, but that's just my opinion. But in a way, this kind of reminds me of WCW, the way things are, have been going lately. I mean, do you feel that way?
There's a little bit of that. We live in a really interesting time now. 20 years ago, I mean, hell, even 10 years ago, this type of stuff, you would have message boards where you'd have people saying, oh man, this is terrible. Goldberg wins again, or oh, there goes Cena, or Triple H. Now, people have a voice. And on social media, which WWE is hugely involved in, they see this stuff. So hashtag cancel WWE Network, they're going to look at that and go, that's not good. That is not good. You know, we need to squash this as quickly as possible. And because people are going to see that and go, oh, WWE Network, what's that? Oh, well, that's dumb. I would never have gotten that anyway. Or, oh, February, it's free? Well, guess what? I don't want it anyway because there's canceled WWE Network. So it's a big deal for that to be the number one trend. And I think that WWE was kind of afraid of it, to be honest.
Do you think that Vince might be out of touch and that's the real reason why it was trending? Because people finally said, enough's enough. We want to see this type of wrestling. We don't need this type of wrestling. Or do you think that the hardcore, I guess I can answer my own question. I think the hardcore fans are sick and tired of seeing the same people, like Roman Reigns, be in the main event when he should be somewhere else. And I think that maybe the look is one thing, but the fans want another thing.
The thing that annoys me the most is that everything I've heard, and it seems like this is coming straight from WWE management, is that Roman Reigns is the next John Cena. Roman Reigns is the next John Cena. And I don't think that's the way it should be, because when John Cena became big, no one was saying John Cena is the next Steve Austin. John Cena is the next Rock. John Cena is the next Hulk Hogan. They were saying, oh, that's John Cena. He's the next top dog. And as opposed to say that about Roman Reigns, they're saying he's the next John Cena. And I think that is a big mistake, because that's what they had done with Lex Luger. They were trying to make him the next Hulk Hogan, and he failed. And they tried to do certain things with other wrestlers that failed. And I don't think that that's what you should do. I think Roman Reigns is going to be a huge star within WWE. I really feel that. Now, I'm not saying he should be the guy now. I'm not saying that he's going to be a huge star in the next week, in the next month or year, but I think that he is going to be a big guy for the industry. It's just a matter of how you do it. And I think right now they're not doing it correctly.
And I guess my problem is that he didn't even go for a IC title or US title. He didn't go for any of that. He's just going straight to the heavyweight. That's my, I guess my big issue is that he didn't progress like Cena did. Cena started from the bottom and then made his way to the top, and it was out of nowhere. Now, the other thing also I want to point out about Cena is the fans will give him crap. They'll say, John Cena sucks during his entrance music, which is fine. But the fans also respect him. So when he is gone, they're like, oh, gosh. You know, I really like booing Cena. But when he's gone, it kind of stinks because then I can't boo for anyone. Oh, wait, there's Roman Reigns. Let's just bash him. That's what I think is really going on. But oh, well. The one thing that I'm kind of upset about, and I don't know what I'm going to do or what you're going to do, but February is going to be free for the WWE Network. I want to know if I cancel, can I just then resub with my email so then I get it free for 1 month? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I might try that just to see. But yeah, it's free for the entire month of February.
Yeah, so I actually canceled my subscription.
Did you really?
I did, yes. Not because of the whole fiasco, but because I realized something, and you know, take with this what you will. I watch WWE mostly when there is a major thing going on. So, for example, you know, it's a pay-per-view. And because they're doing the one-month commitments now, they're not doing the six-month, which I think is a mistake business-wise. I think that you need a three-month commitment, a six-month commitment, or something, or do a discounted price. You get it for 6 months, and it's only $8.99 then a month, basically. If you do something like that, I think is a smarter play. The one-month commitment is dumb, and here's why. Because if most – like let's just say you decided, you know what? I'm not going to buy the WWE Network until Royal Rumble. So you bought out Royal Rumble. You're not only going to get Royal Rumble, you're also going to get Fastlane. Now, I get it. February is free, but regardless of that, at the end of that time period, you cancel WWE Network. Then you wait until the WrestleMania. Then you start it then. Guess what? You're going to probably get run into the next pay-per-view too. And so if you paid close enough attention, at the end of the year, you're going to end up saving yourself probably $20 because you're going to go a certain amount of time without having the WWE Network. Obviously, I didn't do the math, and I probably could, but you'd probably save yourself like $20 to $30. And I think that's a big mistake on WWE's part, personally.
So you're saying that no matter when you'd sub, it would start from the first of the month to the end of the month? Is that something they should try?
No. Because no one's going to subscribe on the 30th, pay $10 for one day, you know. I think they really need to bring back a subscription-type model. Because, you know, if their big draw is the pay-per-views, unlike Netflix, because think of it this way, with Netflix, the big draw is not, you know, this movie. You know, it's like, oh, hey, on the 30th, we always have this movie come out, you know, or every 4 weeks, it's always this movie. It's, hey, we just have all these movies, you know, and people will just continuously pay for it because they have all that extra content. WWE is a little different. And so I think that the biggest draw are the pay-per-views. The rest of the stuff is secondary.
Okay. So here's the cool part, though. They did announce that they have 1 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's more because of the international audience coming in?
Yeah,
because they got the UK to come in, and that was the big market that they didn't have. I would say that's a real reason why they hit 1 million. But how many? But that was as of Royal Rumble. So mm-hmm. What is it? You know, when people quote unquote canceled the following day. I'm wondering what that number would be.
Well, here's the thing. When you cancel, and I think Netflix is a little different. I think Netflix, when you cancel that day, I believe. I could be wrong. But with WWE Network, I cancel my subscription. I can log in and still watch content until the 31st. At that point in time, I no longer have the WWE Network.
I see.
So I think that here's the thing. They say, yeah, we have 1 million subscribers. Let's just say 50,000 of them quit, though. That's a large number. That's 5% of your subscribers just quit your network because of your product. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that much. I bet it was under like 0.5%, if not 0.25%.
Oh, really? So you're saying it was 5,000, you know, 20,000.
At most, I would say, you know, 1 to 5. Like,
really?
Unsub. I don't think it'd be any more than that because, wow. Yes, fans were upset, and I think other people were upset, but maybe they're like, you know what? My sub runs out, we'll say, I don't know, like on the 4th or 5th of February. I'll just cancel now, and then I'll use a different email address to get to the WWE Network for 1 month, and then I'll renew it once it gets closer to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And that's what some people do, and, you know, it's not like you really need it every week, but I watch it enough.
I don't. I at the gym, I'll typically watch like a Monday Night War or Top 10, that sort of thing, which are really entertaining, and I like doing that. But, sometimes there can be too much wrestling, and I think that's the thing. You don't want to try to, you know, like water it down too much. So,
well, are you a fan of documentaries? Because that's my big thing. I like
absolutely. Those are my biggest things. Those are the things I watch the most, the documentaries.
But stuff. I don't need a visual thing. I have a lot of that stuff in the background. I'm doing something else or I'm working. I don't need the visual of seeing this match. Like, I just listened to the Rhodes and a Flair thing from a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
And it was really good. But visually, I when I would look at it, it was nothing like, oh, whatever. They were just talking about it. And I enjoyed that part of it more than anything. But
yeah.
Anyway, so Raw and SmackDown were canceled.
Mm-hmm.
From the arenas because of the snowstorm that was going to hit. And what's the comical part of that? They only got like 6 inches. So it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't too bad, but you know, it was the very first time Raw's ever been canceled due to weather. So it was a pretty big deal. They instead did a 3-hour long studio thing. They did reshow the Rumble and the main event, the Triple Threat, which were, you know, the two biggest things that happened the night before. So it was a smart move on their part. 3 hours, though. I mean, come on. There was you can only do so much.
You know what my problem with this was? Nothing about NXT. That was my big problem. They could have had a thing about the WWE Network and say, hey, let's talk about this NXT match. Let's bring up, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami. Well, I guess you can't really bring those guys up, but you can bring up Sami Zayn and Cesaro, how they wrestled this great match last year. It was considered match of the year, blah, blah, blah. They should have showcased at least 50. I was asking for 5 minutes and maximum 15 minutes of them talking about stuff on the network. And they never really did. They're like, hey, here's the Royal Rumble. Hey, here's the Royal Rumble. Hey, Seth Rollins is going to talk, and so is Brock Lesnar. Then he's going to fly to Minneapolis because, you know, he doesn't want to be around.
Well, the thing with those, I think Paul Heyman did a lot of damage control for Roman Reigns because I think that it made it look a lot better than what it originally was because, you know, the ending was, you know, we'll talk about it in a second, was not good. And I think that Paul Heyman helped save that. So I think that this Raw, they were lucky that the weather canceled it because I think those fans would have crapped on what had happened the night before, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. Now, here's the one thing that I thought was weird is that Lesnar retained, but he retained after getting all these finishing moves done to him. But, you know, a few years back, you know, Cena just had to do the attitude adjustment onto the steel steps, and then it was a 1-2-3. But he gave him, what, three, and they gave him, what, two curb stomps, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was just a quick F5, 1-2-3.
I'm not a huge fan of finisher spam. And so let's take HBK versus Taker a few years back. You know, you had the finishing move done and goes for the pin, and, you know, it's the, oh, just, you know, got his arm up. And I was okay with that because I think Taker took two super kicks. And then Sean took three tombstones, which I'm okay with. That's fine. What happens here, though, is Cena goes and he does three AAs in a row. And Lesnar still kicked out. I know that obviously we had Seth Rollins go and interrupt the count. But, you know, one of the things that wrestlers are told to do is kick out anyway. You know, you got to kick out because otherwise what happens if the person misses or doesn't get there in time, that sort of thing. So, you know, Lesnar kicks out. He kicks out of three AAs in a row. So you're saying that Lesnar is stronger than three attitude adjustments and that everyone else, whoever gets an attitude adjustment, is going to kill him except for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar now is the superest of all beings. That's the issue I have.
And if I'm correct, Rollins kicked out of an attitude adjustment as well.
And barely. It got to the point I thought that Cena was going to win. Because it really looked like it. I was like, are you kidding me? Cena's winning this, and he just barely got his arm up. Like, perfect timing. Perfect timing. It was a really great near finish.
Yeah, that was the happy moment, because I was just more surprised that, wow, Rollins actually did something proper, because Cena did take some time to get over there, so I was pretty happy with that. But yeah, overall, that was probably match of the night.
There weren't
many, but that was probably that had to have been match of the night because it was good. And, you know, kudos to Brock Lesnar. He did sell it. And I think that's, you know, let's just talk about the Royal Rumble itself before I go on a tangent. So Royal Rumble, you called the two last eliminations, of course. Mm-hmm. You said it was going to be Rusev and Reigns and of course, our 2015 Royal Rumble champ is Roman Reigns. Okay, so now I got that out of the way. So I was more happy that someone came back after 10 years. Bully
DDP?
Ray. DDP. Bully Ray, also known as Bubba Ray Dudley, he showed up. And I was pretty excited when he came out. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was very excited, too, and I think the Philly crowd was. It was a good time to have him come out. I think the number three spot was perfect because he had some really great spots with R-Truth and Miz, and it was really great. He did a great job. He really did. He's a really great heel, too, and if WWE used him like TNA did, they could have him come back and be that big-time heel that you would, you know, feed to a face. You know, like a Ziggler or Cena. And I think that'd be a smart move for them. They're not going to do that. I think it was a one-time thing, unfortunately. But I was pretty happy to see him. DDP, same thing. The thing I liked about those two is that they did not just have him come out for a quick spot and then throw him out. They actually had him come out, do a few things. They actually threw a couple people out. I believe DDP threw somebody out, but I know Bully did for sure. So that was really interesting. Even Boogeyman's spot I thought was really well done because, you know, it's a creepy guy going up against Bray Wyatt. And I thought that that was a really cool moment for them. So I like the surprise entrance this year.
Yeah, if you want to know, Dudley actually eliminated The Miz and R-Truth.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Overall, like, I guess I'm just disappointed because, yeah, DDP came out. And the one thing also that DDP did was DDP came out and gave everyone the Diamond Cutter. And mm-hmm. he did it in some unique ways, which is the cool part about the Diamond Cutter. It just kind of stunk that he was only in there for about 2.5 minutes. And that was it.
You know what, though? It was a good 2.5 minutes, and that's the main thing, you know?
Yeah, but he also didn't eliminate anyone. He was just there to
get... Oh, he didn't? Okay. No, well, he did finishers, so, you know.
That's the big thing. He, unfortunately, he did not. Rusev actually knocked a lot of people out, surprisingly. So did Bray, but...
Yeah, if I'm correct, actually, Bray, Rusev, and Roman Reigns all knocked out 6 people.
Bray actually hit 7, but you got the other 2 right. I got it right here, dude.
Nope, that's actually incorrect.
Really? Bray Wyatt threw out Bubba Ray Dudley, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, Boogeyman, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, and Daniel Bryan.
So he threw out Bubba Ray, Luke Harper, Boogeyman, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, Daniel Bryan. Who was the 7th one you said?
Okay, he eliminated Bubba Ray Dudley,
mm-hmm.
Luke Harper, Eric Rowan.
He wasn't an entrant.
Are you kidding me?
I'm being serious. According to this, it says that he eliminated 6 people. Okay, that's what it says. So anyway,
we'll agree to disagree to, and also agree that I was right.
So he eliminated six people who were in the match. Okay, 6 people who were in the match. Back. Okay. Anyway, so the biggest thing that happened here, Andy, is that Roman Reigns, he goes, it's him against Big Show and Kane. He knocks both of them over at the same time, which was, you know, they're trying to show that he's this really strong guy that can do that. But the crowd was not into it. The crowd hated Roman Reigns. The crowd just crapped all over him. And they were chanting for Rusev. And then when Rusev came out, Roman Reigns just threw him out kind of unceremoniously, to be honest. It was just a, hey, I see you. I'm going to just throw you over the top like a jobber. And then he wins. He points at the sign, you know, gets the sparks. And then Rock comes out, and WWE did this as a way to try to save Roman Reigns because they knew that the Philly crowd was not going to like him. And Rock was even surprised by the reaction that he got. And reportedly, he was not very happy when he went backstage. He was very upset about him coming – about Rock being there just to get crapped on basically by the Philly fans. And so I got to ask you, first of all, was it a smart thing to do in Philly?
Oh, no. You do – it's the Philly crowd. It's the Chicago crowd. You do this on a crowd where wrestling was not a huge, huge deal. Do it down in Texas. Do it, you know, in Oklahoma. Pick Denver, something like that. But when you have it in basically anything from Midwest to the East Coast, they don't like certain wrestlers. They don't like Cena. They don't like Roman Reigns. They don't like those guys. If those guys win, they have a problem. Lesnar got cheered when he won. They were excited that he won. Because it wasn't going to be Rollins and it wasn't going to be Cena.
They would have been okay with Rollins winning, though. They would have been very okay.
Yes, it would have been fine with that. They would have been completely fine. In fact, I think there would have been a cooler twist if he did win because he's still the Money in the Bank guy.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done multiple things with that. So we'll see.
Well, so but back to the big thing, though. So obviously it was not a good idea to have it in Philly, and I completely agree with you. I think that you have him win it in like a Miami, you know, that's what the first thing that came to mind for some reason. But aside from that, do you think it was a smart move to have The Rock come out? Because they knew that this was going to happen. They knew that in Philly, hey, we're in Philly. They're not going to like Roman Reigns winning. So we need to have The Rock come out and help him. I mean, was that a smart move on WWE's part?
This one, I'm not sure of because, yeah, The Rock came out and there are so many different things they were talking about, even maybe having The Rock win the Royal Rumble at one point. You know, I guess to try and save face, you have him come out. But the fans are like, oh, look, it's The Rock. We still don't want Reigns to win, though. That's the problem. You know, if they would have done this in Minnesota, I don't think there would have been a problem. I think once you get past Chicago, it would have been fine. They should have just done this at whatever the Mark and, you know, East Moline or the Quad Cities. That's where they should have done it, because then the crowd would have pooped on everyone.
Well, they probably would have, but just not as much. I agree with you about Rock. You know, it's kind of hard to say either way. But the Rock, I mean, his facial expression at the end, he was like, wow, holy crap. You know, you guys really don't like this, you know. And I'm going to be very surprised, because Triple H said on SmackDown that he had this big announcement that he was going to be making on a Raw this coming Monday. So it's going to change the face of the Royal Rumble, because it was so controversial. And the thing about it is, the Royal Rumble finish itself was not controversial. It wasn't. Roman Reigns won that hands down. It's just that the fans didn't want Roman Reigns to win. They were very upset about that. They wanted somebody else in there, and that someone else was Daniel Bryan. And you know, something you pointed out, basically WWE has missed the mark 2 years in a row, because last year Daniel Bryan should have won the Royal Rumble. Hands down, should not have been a big deal. That's what should have happened. And then you put Roblox in front of him going to WrestleMania. It should not have been what happened.
And then you have Rey Mysterio come out and they boo because they thought that was going to be Daniel Bryan. And poor Rey had to get booed the entire time that he was in the ring. And fans were really upset last year. And
sure.
And so were we. But again, but same thing this year.
Let me ask you this. Daniel Bryan comes back. Let's say he won the Royal Rumble this year. I mean, isn't it kind of, well, too little too late at that point in time? Because if Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble next year, I'm going to feel too little too late for it, because you're missing the mark. That's 2 years removed from when he was the hottest he's ever been. And now you're finally going to give him a chance to win the Royal Rumble. I'm not going to buy it as much. I'm going to say, oh, that's cool. You know, like, yeah, you gave it to him. He doesn't need it now. He's super over. You know, why are you giving it to him?
Yeah, because you're right. Even if he was to win it in 2 years just to make up for it, I don't think it would have the same thing. I mean, last year was a perfect buildup, but then Batista had to sign some deal where basically he got what he wanted, and he won the Royal Rumble, you know, for the second time. And you could have had someone who is better, and people were booing him at that time. He should have been a heel. It should have been Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that enough.
Well, and people weren't booing him because he was Batista and because he was back. People were booing him because he wasn't Daniel Bryan. You know, let's just get that out of the way. People were booing him because he was not Daniel Bryan. That was the big thing. And they could have had Batista versus Randy Orton, but let Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble. But anyway, that, you know, let's not dwell on that too much.
Yeah, I'm getting Andy, more upset. So
what do you want to do with Daniel Bryan?
Oh god!
For WrestleMania,
if I wanted to see match of the year or match of the century, I would definitely have him go against Dolph Ziggler.
That's not match of the century, but yeah, maybe match of the year.
I don't think that he could do it with Sheamus. Sheamus could come out and be a monster heel. That's fine. Have him go feud with someone else. Have him and Titus O'Neil can feud. or Justin Gabriel, or the Bunny. I just don't think that Sheamus would be the guy that he should feud with. I mean, yeah, it would be like, oh, hey, I beat him in 8 seconds, blah, blah, blah. No. In fact, I'm still upset about that, so I need to move on. So no more Sheamus talk.
The rumor was that Daniel Bryan was going to face Sheamus this year, which is so stupid, because they don't need to face each other at WrestleMania for the third time in a row. It would be pointless. These two do not have heat. They don't have a good feud. It's not a long-term thing, you know. It's, oh, I just think that those two should wrestle. That's dumb. That is a really, really bad booking. There is a rumor right now, though, that Bryan may wrestle Ziggler. Aside from that, is there anyone else you would have Bryan wrestle?
No. That's really what you have right now.
You don't have him in the main event. You don't have him wrestle Rusev or, you know, I don't know.
No, because here's what I think. I think John Cena is going to basically go against Rusev.
And we'll talk about that probably next week. But
right. But I believe that they're not going to know what to do with Daniel Bryan when he should be going for something. So I believe that they're just going to say, you know, Daniel Bryan, we're going to let you pick what you want to wrestle and go nuts. And if they went nuts, that would be the match. If it opened the pay-per-view, people would go nuts.
It would have to open the pay-per-view.
Well, they could go a good 40 minutes, curtain to curtain. They could go 40 minutes. And I believe that they would tear the house down. I think San Jose would just be like, wow, I can't believe this. This is awesome. We'll see, though. That's what we're going to have to wait.
Well, I don't know why San Jose would be so excited about it. I mean, I'm sure that they would be in their houses.
San Francisco, whatever.
But, you know, Santa Clara, I'm sure, would be really excited about it.
The Bay Area, all those people would be happy.
Yeah, you know what? I think if you have him wrestle Ziggler, in my opinion, make it a number one contenders match. Make it worth something. That way the fans are going to be more vested in it. Because here's the thing about me. While I think those two will put on a great match, I'm going to say, oh, that was cool. They put on a fun match at WrestleMania. Where did it get either of them? Are they wrestling for anything? No. If they're wrestling for the number one contendership, though, then you have something on your hands. Because guess what? Guess who the winner is going to be? Guess who's going to be holding the title at the end of the night of WrestleMania? It's going to be Seth Rollins. And so think of it this way. Daniel Bryan beats Ziggler. And then Daniel Bryan says, oh, guess what? At the next pay-per-view, Seth, I got you because I'm the number one contender. And Roman Reigns says, no. He beat me for the title. I have my rematch clause. Daniel Bryan, you get to the back of the line. You could have a fun triple threat match. Then you could actually have singles matches. You could have a lot of great things going into SummerSlam with Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. That's what I would do personally.
You know, my problem with Reigns facing Lesnar is that I'm just going to say it right now. They're going to have someone else in that ring. And I'm just going to say it now. John Cena will be the guest referee because someone has to call that match. So if it's not Cena, it's going to be Rollins. Someone has to call the match for those two guys. Because those two guys cannot do it. I mean, Show called the match on SmackDown. And he doesn't call matches, but he had to call because Reigns didn't know what he's doing. And Lesnar just listened to the Cena. I mean, he just listened. Hey, what am I supposed to do? Okay, I'll do this. Lesnar can't call it, so who's going to call it? You got to have a special guest referee. And I think that something's going to happen where it's going to be either Rollins or it's going to be Cena or maybe even Dan O'Brien. It's going to be someone who has to guest referee that match. It's not going to be a regular one.
Yeah, I think that's a good possibility.
I can go on and on about this, dude. I'm so frustrated. But instead, let's just thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Impact Wrestling. So let's discuss it. Feast or Fired.
Yeah, so we had talked about it last week, but they had filmed the stuff way afterwards. And so, you know, we had thought that maybe they were going to be talking about it later, but no, they did it that night. So I think the biggest thing that happened here we have, or not the biggest, but, you know, something that's a pretty big deal. Austin Aries is now going to be going after the world heavyweight title. Is that a good move for him? Do you think that he should be going after the world title?
I think it is. I think that. I like Austin Aries. I think that he has the proper image to be a world champion. And here's the knock against Austin Aries. If he was 6 inches taller, he's money. He'd actually probably not be in TNA.
No, he wouldn't. He would be in WWE. And he'd be the CM Punk over there right now.
Right. And see, that's the problem. But I think that even though, yes, he's short, he makes himself seem a lot bigger. So I think you could build the company around him. That's my opinion on it. So he should be a champion, and he should win the World Heavyweight Championship from TNA, or TNA's Heavyweight Championship. I believe that he will win it, and he will make – I think he'd be surprised. Because when he had it the first time, it was great. He was awesome.
His win was very surprising, though. I don't think anyone really expected it. Myself included, I did not think he was going to do it. And then he won it. And I was blown away by it because he was the underdog. And I was very, very excited for him to win it. And I felt that it came off the heels of Punk winning at Money in the Bank. And so I was really excited for that because I thought, oh, wow, they're actually giving these really talented people title runs now. But turns out that was all for naught. So, they took it away fairly quickly from him, and he hasn't had another run with it. And I think that he should. I think that he deserves another run. He's the type of character that will get you to hate him. And if you really put your marketing power behind him, him, Bobby Roode, Bobby Lashley, those are guys that you can really showcase them and say that these are the people here that you want to see over at Impact. And, to be honest, Impact's ratings have been up a lot. They were saying that last week altogether they got 600,000 views for Impact, which is a pretty big deal.
I think it's also because there were some fans that didn't realize they were changing channels or they were going to Destination America, which I believe that's a TNA issue. They should have been pushing that on TV. At least the last show, they should have been allowed to say, hey, we're going to Destination America. Check your local listings for the channel. I think also a lot of people did not want to upgrade their cable or satellite package because, maybe they don't have the money. But now, since people are getting tax refunds, I think some people decide, hey, I'm going to spend the extra $10 or $20 a month to get this to get Destination America. But the one thing I find cool about Destination America is that they're promoting the crap out of it. My wife watches Destination America, and she's like, oh, great, TNA's on here now, which I found kind of funny.
They're doing a fantastic job, and kudos to them for actually getting behind TNA. That's something that Spike TV didn't do. And even I know there's rumors right now that Jeff Jarrett is negotiating with them about Global Force Wrestling. And my thought is good luck, dude, because, TNA's audience, that was a lot of loyal fans in Global Force Wrestling. I think if they were at Spike TV, especially with no advertising, you're talking probably 700,000 views, which is honestly not that much. That's not too many people watching it when TNA is getting almost that amount on a show that's in half of households.
Yeah, I don't think GFW's gonna go anywhere, dude.
I'll get a prediction wrong. But
what's that?
Then I'm gonna get one of my predictions wrong.
Well, I've already got one of mine right. So Spud gets the X title. I'm not surprised
he's
about.
He's gonna get a shot at it.
Yeah, he gets a shot at it. I'm sorry. Yes. So he got the X title box. I believe that he deserves it, and I think the fans are behind him. He reminds me of Eric Young a lot. Because they basically told
a very tiny Eric Young.
Very, yes. And that guy, I bet he's probably a buck 120 soaking wet. That dude is so small.
He's very tiny. I would say he's probably like 160-ish. He's probably 5'2". I don't know what they bill him as because obviously it's a wrestling, so they always bill him 6 inches, like larger. Kurt Angle, for example.
Yes. What is he? He's 6 foot and we towered over him?
He's 6 foot, and I mean, we were a good 3-4 inches. I mean, I would guess he's 5'9".
Maybe 5'10" in boots.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was in his boots. So yeah, he probably was. I kind of wonder what they're going to do with him holding the X Division title because, Spud is really tiny, and the X Division title for the most part has been held by really good wrestlers. Really good wrestlers. So I don't know what their plan is with that. The other thing that happened though, Magnus gets the tag team titles. So him and Bram are going to be going after the tag titles, which will be kind of a pretty big deal. Do you think that this is a good move for Magnus to go into? Do you think he should be in the tag team area?
I guess for now, let Austin Aries have his fame, and then halfway through the year, have Magnus say, I'm done being a tag champion. We've mastered that, so I'm going to go after the World Heavyweight title. And then you can have a good Aries-Magnus feud, and I believe that would actually put some I think some people would want to see that, definitely.
Yeah, I think actually that'd be a really good booking right there.
Definitely. But the other problem I had was that probably the number one knockout in the entire company, being Velvet Sky, got fired. And not just fired storyline, but legitimately got fired. After 8 years, they're just like, yeah, we're done with you. Which I find, I don't get this direction. I don't get it.
Well, so she has been saying online that You know, bring me back. You know, TNA, you're making, or Destination America, are making a huge mistake by letting me go. Blah, blah, blah. So I almost wonder if this might be a work, because I don't think TNA would have just gone up to her and said, oh, you know, we don't want you anymore. You're gone. You're gone. I think that'd be kind of a weird thing to do. And instead, I wonder if this is a little bit of a work. And she's going to come back eventually, you know, in a few months after taking some time off and, you know, be rejuvenated. I wonder if that's what they're going to do.
I don't think so. I think they're just done with her. And
really?
I think so. And that's sad because, you know, AJ Styles, he's gone. And I think
Velvet Sky is no AJ Styles.
Well, no, but I guess the way I look at it is that you could have someone who is there, like someone who everyone likes to see, and then when they're gone, you're like, oh, why are they gone? And I know it's gonna make a couple of our friends upset because they really liked Velvet Sky, but it's I guess this still bothers me. She should have never been fired. But no,
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Plus, the other thing is that it's not like she's gonna get the World Heavyweight Championship shot. I mean, it was pretty obvious because it's not like they have the Knockouts briefcase.
Yeah, I mean, she grabbed it. You know, obviously the storyline was that she grabbed it for the bromance, and then oh no, I didn't get it, dude. She got it. She got it for me. So that means that she's fired, not me. You know, and there's this whole big ordeal with it, which was kind of annoying and like oh, but.
That segment was funny with Robbie. Robbie, I think, is hilarious.
I find him really annoying. I know a lot of people like him as a heel, but I find him kind of irritating. Like, I don't like to hate him. I just don't like him. You know?
Okay.
like EC3, I love to hate him. And you know the crouching, you can't wrestle, and then he responds back. You know, that is just genius as a heel, because the crowd then is going to chant that everywhere you go. They're going to chant, you can't wrestle. I disagree. I'm very good. You know, like that is perfect. And whereas Robbie E, he doesn't get that type of heat.
Now, here's the other thing about that. You know, Derek Bateman was not very memorable in the WWE, but then he goes to TNA and he makes something of himself. I believe it's actually because of him. I'm wondering if there's going to be a couple guys that leave the WWE eventually here in the next 6 months that think, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to TNA because this, you know, because they did this with Derek Bateman. So I'm going to do the same thing. But I don't.
Well, they had a great gimmick. They had a really good gimmick ready to go. And so they gave it to him. And it was a very smart move on their part. You know, they had something ready to go and it worked. It worked really well. So it's just a matter of having the right thing there for the right person. And I don't know if that gimmick would work for everybody. You know, I don't know if they have other gimmicks ready. I mean, Samuel Shaw's gimmick was not the greatest. You know, it was kind of, you know, so-so. So I don't know if they would have another good one ready to go. You're going to have hits and misses. And EC3, I think, was a huge hit. Whereas I think Sam Shaw has been, you know, pretty much a miss.
Unfortunately, so. Yeah. And I kind of liked the character at first, but yeah. Oh, well. So, Aaron, have you been watching any Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground?
I've been watching both, and I think that, you know what, we'll have to talk about it sometime soon.
Yeah, and also, just to let you guys know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, it is on Access TV on Friday nights at 8 o'clock, and I've been enjoying those matches. They're very, very good. So,
and they are the pay-per-view matches, so, you know, you have an hour of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's not the sports entertainment. Instead, it is you're seeing an hour of one match, basically.
And those fans, they take it so seriously.
Yes, they do.
So I guess that's why some guys make it big in Japan, and they make a lot of money, and there's an off season. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.